A logo, the sun sets behind a mountain in the sea. Mar Vista Entertainment. Text, Mar Vista Entertainment presents. A Julian Grant production. A title appears over the downtown skyline of a city at night. Love thy neighbor. On a residential street, a row of three-story townhouses is hemmed by a fence and trees. The headlights of a pickup truck shine as it drives down the street. Through the window of the pickup truck, the driver looks at each of the townhouse doors as the pickup drives past. The pickup comes to a stop in front of one of the houses. The headlights turn off and the driver steps out. He walks around to the other side of the pickup. Another man gets out from the passenger's seat. They both climb over the fence. In a bedroom in the house, a framed certificate on the wall reads, Laura Benson, Outstanding Youth Services, a very special volunteer. Framed photos display Laura, a middle-aged woman, her husband, a man with short dark hair, and her daughter, a teen girl. Laura sleeps alone in a bed beneath the framed photos on the wall. Laura stirs awake.
Fred! Shh! Oh, be quiet! Fred!
Laura climbs out of bed and opens the bedroom door.
Quiet.
A collie stands atop a staircase.
What are you doing? Fred, shh. Fred, what are you doing? Now be quiet. Shh. Come on.
Laura looks downstairs and sees a man carrying a TV. Another man holds a flashlight. The burglar shines the flashlight up the stairs and spots Laura. He raises a pistol and pulls back the hammer. Laura stares at the burglar with her mouth agape. The burglar glares at her with a thin smile. Laura pictures herself and her daughter being attacked at gunpoint. Laura's daughter walks out of a bedroom.
Sweetie.
Laura pulls her daughter into her bedroom. They shut the door and scan the room.
The dresser!
The burglar's accomplice approaches him.
Come on, man. Let's go.
Get some more stuff. I got this.
The burglar walks up the stairs with his gun raised at Fred. In the bedroom, Laura and her daughter push a dresser to the door.
Call the police! And stay away from the door!
Laura's daughter makes a call.
Hey, we're at 260 Russell Hill Road. There's been a break in place. We need help.
The burglar's arm reaches through a gap in the door. Laura pushes the dresser against it. Laura runs over to the window.
Get the keys. Come on, let's get out of here. Go.
Outside, the burglar and his accomplice get into the pickup truck.
Stay there!
Laura pushes the dresser away from the door and steps into the hallway. She sees Fred's body lying at the top of the stairs. Laura and her daughter weep as they approach Fred and kneel over his body. Later, they wrap the body in a blanket and place it into a box.
You two were puppies together, you know that?
Goodbye, Fred.
Laura's husband sits behind them.
Help me, Mom. I'll take him.
You'll take him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Laura's daughter lifts the box and carries it out of the room. Laura's husband is on the phone.
Yeah, I just got back at 5 a.m. Yeah, my house was broken into. My dog was killed. I can't leave right now. Yeah, I know there's a deadline. I set the deadline. You just work it out.
Laura's husband puts down the phone. He kneels down next to Laura and places a hand on her arm. She shudders.
I should have been here. This damn job, it's
Whatever happened to that alarm system you were going to put in?
Laura turns to her husband. He bows his head. In the morning, a car approaches a building with a sign that reads, St. Agnes Shelter, Welcome Center. The car pulls over. Laura sits next to her husband.
You sure you're ready to go back to work? I mean, you could take some more time.
Maybe it'll help.
You're sure?
You really didn't have to drive me, you know.
Yeah, I did.
They kiss.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Laura gets out of the car. In an office, she counsels a young woman with a bruise on the side of her face.
I mean, I don't want to go back. But he loves me. He tells me that, and nobody ever tells me that.
He tells you that because he knows that's what you need to hear. If he loved you, he wouldn't hit you. He wouldn't leave you in stitches. He wouldn't leave you like this.
Laura, phone.
A man opens the door to the office.
It's the police.
Laura flashes back to the burglar firing his gun.
You all right?
She turns to the young woman and sees the accomplice in her place. She turns to the door and sees the burglar.
Laura, do you want me to get it?
Laura looks back and forth between the man and the young woman.
Laura, you want me to get it?
I'll get it.
Laura glances at the man and young woman as she answers the phone.
St. Agnes.
In a precinct, Laura and her husband meet with a detective.
Lucky?
We made these guys on another job a couple of weeks ago. It's an 80-year-old woman. Rape, murder. The dog saved you.
Oh my God. Mrs. Benson, I'm telling you all this because I want you to consider how important this ID could be. Now, if we nail the shooter, it's his third strike. He'll get life, no parole. Even if we can't tie him to the old lady's murder.
Will he know that it's me?
He won't know what hit him.
I'll be right here.
You can do this.
Laura walks off with the detective. Her husband lingers behind with a concerned face. In a room with a one-way mirror, Laura and the detective look at a lineup of men with numbered signs.
You sure they can't see me?
There's no way. Just take your time.
Laura scans the men's faces. The man with a sign marked 4 stares through the mirror with an intense look.
You see him?
Laura's gaze lingers on number 4.
Mrs. Benson.
She flashes back to the burglary.
Number 4. Are you sure?
She flashes back to finding Fred's body. In the house, Laura stares through a window as she drinks coffee at the kitchen table. Her husband walks over to the table and stands behind her. He takes a seat at the table.
Remember when we first moved here?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford it, but we didn't care. Putting towels over boxes because we didn't have enough money for tables.
And I had the bright idea of painting the bedroom red.
Oh, how can I forget that?
I took 8 coats and then I hated it. I remember you bringing Fred home as a puppy. His claws making him slide across the floor, his tiny little legs trying to move faster than his body. It was so easy then. All of it. Young, stupid, easy.
We're still young. We're still stupid.
Aaron had another nightmare last night. She didn't want to go to school today.
Yeah, I know.
He puts a hand on Laura's shoulder. She jolts back.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's not your fault.
Aaron, Laura's daughter, enters the house.
Where have you been?
School? Learning? I enjoy these tender moments.
Well, you're half an hour late.
I have a curfew now?
Look, don't you smartass me!
Mom, I went to school because you said we had to get back to normal, okay?
Your mother took a leave from St. Agnes.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
At night in the bedroom, Laura performs leg stretches on a yoga mat.
Look at this, look at this.
Her husband hands her a brochure.
Huh? Arbor Eden, custom homes, fully landscaped. No two alike, rest easy in a sprawling gated community equipped with security patrol team on 24-hour call. Less than 1 minute away from your doorstep. Top of the line alarm system, reinforced windows. What do you think?
I think I want to relax, not go to jail.
Honey, we have to do something.
Can we afford this?
Yeah, I just have to sell a few more planes.
Let me think about it.
Okay, you think about it. Take your time. Arbor Eden. Looks good, looks good.
In the morning in the kitchen, Laura chops vegetables with a knife. Her husband reads a newspaper at the table.
Maybe you should think about getting out of the house today.
And do what?
What are we eating?
Laura's eyes widen. She sees the burglar in a reflection on the stove. Laura turns around and points the knife at Aaron.
Maybe I'll just eat out, okay? Don't go stabbing anybody.
Laura's husband places a hand on her back.
It's okay.
No, no, it's not, baby.
It's okay.
In the car, the Bensons drive past a sign that reads, Arbor Eden. They pull up to a security booth with a traffic barrier gate.
Are they trying to keep people in or out?
Hello.
Hi, Jim Benson. We just bought 41 Park Verde.
Oh, very nice. That's probably the nicest lot up there.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm...
the gatekeeper?
Or Crowley. Yeah, either or. I'm going to need to see some ID, please.
Oh, no problem.
Jim, Laura's husband, takes out his wallet.
Here you go.
Ah, thank you.
Crowley examines the piece of ID in his booth.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad, Mr. Benson. Not bad at all.
Here you go, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Now keep your parking pass in your car. And your house key, it's in the envelope.
Ready?
Oh, and welcome to Arbor Eden. An ease of mind and a piece of paradise.
I bet you he gets paid extra if he says that.
Oh, you're just a bag of sunshine, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sit back.
You got that right.
Have a good day.
Thanks again. Bye.
The barrier gate rises and the car drives through to the gated community. The car drives along a residential street, passing houses with lush trees and well-kept lawns. The car turns a corner and pulls into the driveway of a luxurious two-story house with a sprawling front garden.
So what do you think?
I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you see your room, monkey.
Very nice, Dad. Oh,
thank you.
And all you had to do was stick a knife in my face.
Sleep with one eye open, girly girl. Shouldn't there be a moving van somewhere?
Hopefully they're already done. Come on, let's go see the house.
Jim pulls out a key card from the envelope as he approaches the front door.
No key?
It's more secure than a key. Why do you think they use them in hotels? Ladies.
Thank you.
Laura kisses Jim before stepping through the door. Inside, they look around the large, completely empty house.
Where's the furniture?
I don't know. These guys are supposed to be here hours ago. I'll call.
You know, sweetie, I'll call.
Okay.
Aaron walks upstairs. Later, Laura is on the phone.
No, don't put me on hold again. Oh, darn it.
May I show you the garden, Mrs. Benson? It is well worth the price of admission.
Hold on. Yes, this is Laura Benson, and our furniture was supposed to be here hours ago. I would like to speak to a supervisor. Thank you.
Do you want me to talk to him?
Yes.
You know, aside from the whole Alcatraz thing, this place is pretty hot.
No, it's hot all right.
Do we have to open the doors with this all day?
Just until the realtor gets here with a code.
Aaron swipes the keycard on a panel by the back door. She opens the door to find a cat sitting outside. It comes in.
Oh!
I think we've just been adopted.
Yeah, I'm holding. That's what I do. I hold.
Aaron swipes the card at the front door.
Hey, you ask before you let someone in.
Hello, Yellow.
Who is...
Hello.
Mickey Galligan. I sold your dad the house. Boy, this place amazes me more every time.
Hey, Mickey. You said the furniture was going to be here.
I'll handle it.
Mickey, a woman with short gray hair, makes a call on a cell phone.
Yeah, Mickey Galligan. And don't put me on hold. Yeah, 41 Park Verde. Now, my clients have already waited. Okay, you will be billed for this. I'll get them to knock $500 off the bill.
Great.
So, shall we check out the security system?
Yeah.
She leads them to a keypad by the back door.
So there are four of these master keypads. Here, your bedroom upstairs, the front door, and the garage. And if the doors are armed, the garage doors won't work. So let me show you. You just punch in the code.
Alarm activated. Door locked.
Huh? And our reinforced windows? I mean, you could fill this place up with water and it couldn't get out unless it knew the code.
What about during the day so we don't have to use the card all the time?
Just type in the same code.
Alarm deactivated.
That's a comforting voice.
Any questions?
No.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I have another house to show. So pardon my rudeness. Now, the doors are now disarmed, so if you want to arm them again after I leave, feel free and call me when you get settled in.
Bye. I guess you told us.
I'm going to eat my arm if we don't get something now.
Oh.
Let me see you do that. Eat your arm.
Yeah? Okay.
Laura walks over to the front door.
Hello?
And an Arbor Eden big hello to you, neighbor.
She opens the door for a mother and teen daughter.
When we heard someone was moving in next door, we just had to stop in and give the big hello, or shalom, as our Jewish friends say, and introduce ourselves. I am Janice Rivers.
Oh, hi.
And this is Jenny.
Hi.
Well, she's not much of a talker, but she could cook a horse's neck and make it taste like filet mignon.
Janice hands Laura a dish with a pie.
Key lime, a Jenny Rivers special.
Thank you so much.
Well, here I am, once again, going on doing all the talking. Little Miss Yibber-Yabber, they call me. I apologize. I didn't even ask your name, sweetie.
Hi,
I'm Jim Benson.
Hi.
And this is my wife, Laura.
Hi. Laura.
And our daughter, Erin.
Hi.
We'd invite you in, but we don't have any furniture.
Yeah.
The movers were supposed to have set everything up by the time we got here, but...
Oh, how awful! And such a hassle! You'll have to come over for lunch. No food, no furniture, no furniture to eat the no food. Like I said, Jenny's not much of a talker, but she could cook a horse's neck and make it taste like...
Oh, well, you know, we were just about to go for takeout.
Yeah.
Let's do take-in! And I won't take no for an answer.
Are you sure?
I hate to see people go hungry. And it'll be a great way for us to kill time until the movers get here. I mean, if they do get here, right, Laura?
That's right.
It sounds great. It's Janice, right?
Right as rain. Well, I'll see you in 10 minutes. Or whatever easier, you know, maybe 15 or 20, whatever's best for you. I'm sorry. I mean, I'll see you soon, whenever. We just live over there.
Great.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thanks, and thanks for the pot.
Bye-bye.
In the house next door, Janice serves food for Jenny and the Bensons.
So by this point, everyone is tipsy, and the elf says, you get an ounce of tequila in me and I turn into a wild man. I mean, it's funny because he's so small.
I love all your decorations, by the way. You know how you have them set up? It's just so...
Perfect? I'm sorry. I had this interrupting thing. I tried to see a doctor about it, but he couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Well, I was going to say nice, but perfect is fine, too.
After what we've been through, any nice is nice.
If you don't mind my prying little eyes, what brings you guys to Arbor Eden? Oh, I'm sorry. World's pushiest neighbor. Where's my trophy?
It was just time for a change, I guess.
There's more than that. I can tell. I bet. If you don't mind.
No, it's just not anything.
We were robbed at our old place. Well, Laura and Aaron were. I was out of town on business.
Oh, my sweet Lord. Everyone's okay? That's just awful.
We lost our dog, Fred, in the break-in. He was like the fourth member of our family.
Oh, to lose a family pet, that is just an awful, awful thing to go through. My heart goes out to you. It's an ugly world out there, which is why I try to make it as perfect as possible in here. Fix your eyes on perfection and almost everything speeds toward it. William Channing said that, you know.
I think I remember that one.
You know, this is the best meal I've had in a very long time. No offense.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, this lasagna's hella good.
Hey.
Hey. It's like a whole nother culture, ain't it?
Yeah, I need an interpreter half the time.
My dad says the same thing.
Oh, is your husband working, or...?
Janice and Jenny bow their heads.
Alan's no longer with us.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean... I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, Alan's not dead. Jenny's dad is just living somewhere else. It's no big deal.
Oh, you know, my parents divorced when I was young. It was rough at first, but it gets easier.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate your...
Oh! That might be the movers.
Yeah.
Laura gets up from the table and looks through a window.
Oh, they're finally here. Oh, we should go. But thank you.
No, Janice, Jenny, nice to meet you, and thanks for lunch. It was great.
Thank you so much.
The lasagna was delicious. Let's do it again sometime.
How about tonight? Oh, sorry, world's pushiest neighbor, take two.
Well, let's see how the move goes, and we'll call or...
Drop by. No worries. Around 7-ish.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye.
At night in the Benson house, Laura sits in a lounge chair while Jim opens a cardboard box and searches inside.
Last box, honey. I promise. I just gotta find that document for work.
You are here for a while, right?
That's the plan.
Because I miss my husband sometimes.
Jim turns to Laura. They gaze into each other's eyes. Jim walks over and sits in the chair with Laura.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They kiss passionately. Janice stands at a window.
It's 8:02! I mean, it's okay. It's okay if you guys don't want to come over. It's just, I was just getting worried.
Laura and Jim walk over to the window.
Oh, Janice, I am so sorry. I forgot. You should have called.
You know, I got some white wine in the fridge. Why don't I grab it? We'll come over in a few minutes and we'll listen to some music and relax.
That would be nice.
Okay.
So that'll just be a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Janice walks off.
I think we've been adopted.
Nah, she's just probably a little lonely as all. Everyone needs a friend now and then.
I think it's going to be a little more now than then.
At night outside the Benson house, the driveway is empty and the lights are off. Inside, Laura sleeps in bed next to Jim. From below, the bedroom door slowly opens. A person dressed in black steps into the room. It's the burglar. He stands over the bed and stares down at Laura with a menacing look. He raises his pistol and pulls back the hammer. Laura opens her eyes. Flashing lights shine through the window and the burglar runs off. Laura shoots awake. She turns to the bedroom door and sees that it's closed. Emergency vehicle lights shine through the window. Laura climbs out of bed and peers through the window. Outside, a security vehicle is parked on the street. Crowley and another guard speak to a couple.
Jim, wake up. Something's going on.
Outside, Crowley stands with the couple.
Everything is going to be okay. You just go on back to bed.
Thank you.
Excuse me. What's going on?
Oh, it's a prowler. Probably just kids, but we like to be extra cautious.
Well, has this happened before?
Well, I'm fairly new here, and the guy before me never said anything, so no. Not that I know of. We'll handle it, ma'am.
Crowley walks off.
We move for this?
Honey, it's probably just kids, like he said. Look, don't overreact.
I'm not overreacting.
Across the street, Janice looks out from her bedroom window. She watches Laura and Jim walk down their driveway and back to the house. Janice slinks back behind the curtains. In the morning in the Benson house, the living room is filled with boxes. Laura lifts hand weights as she walks through to the kitchen.
Oh, just a few boxes here.
Oh, good. You found the cereal.
Hi.
Where's Erin?
She's outside.
Sweetie?
Outside, Erin pets the cat.
Hey, Fred.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh,
look at our new cat. Named Fred. After, well, Fred.
Oh, I think he'd like that.
Don't forget to get that card key for Erin, honey.
Okay. Gosh, this garden is so gorgeous.
Hello? Anybody home? And an Arbor Eden big hello to you, neighbor.
Hey, Janice. Hey, Jenny.
Hey.
Ah, keeping in shape. I could shed a few dozen.
Ah, cute cat.
Thank you. He just showed up yesterday. Here you go, Fred.
Did you get any sleep last night? To move all the way here and then that? I feel for you. Well, I guess we're going to have to keep an eye out for each other.
We will.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking maybe I could drive Erin to school and Jenny could show her around.
Oh, thanks, but I was planning on taking her this morning. First day of school and all.
You sure?
Yeah.
Sorry. Pushy Patty strikes again.
Thanks for the offer, though.
Hey, I hear they have a kick-ass soccer team.
Hey, language.
Oh, they do. In fact...
State champs. 2 years running. Wow, that's awesome.
Listen, you sure I can't take Erin? I mean, the Riversmobile is already headed that way.
Oh, thanks, but...
Okay, I hear you, sister. Still, we should start carpooling. I mean, if those gas prices get any higher, I'm going to have to double Jenny on my 10-speed. Oh, I know. I'm silly. That's just my nature. But, you know, about that carpool, I mean, we could start tomorrow or...
Well...
Sounds good to me.
Hey, Janice.
Hi, Jim. All right, I'll get the barrel started rolling tomorrow. 7:30, okay?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Bye. Will you let me complete my own sentences, please?
Oh, sorry. I'm in trouble. Better get to work. Bye, girls.
Bye. Come on, I'll take you to school.
On a soccer field, players stand in two lines while the front two players dribble balls between pylons.
Not getting any younger, people! Hustle, hustle, hustle!
Aaron and Jenny are up next.
Army? Marine.
No one's made the team yet, ladies. These are tryouts, not playouts. Go, go, go. Go.
Outside the house, Laura pulls into the driveway in her car. The garage door opens and she turns inside. The garage door closes behind the car. Inside, Laura walks through a door. She steps back with a start. She stands over a red stain on the floor. She looks up and sees Fred the cat sitting in front of an overturned bottle of tomato juice on the kitchen counter. Laura looks through the window into the backyard. A canopy hanging from a wooden gate swings back and forth.
Hello?
Zeller here. We got him.
Who?
The accomplice, Jack Kim. He's been identified by another of his victims, so you don't have to come down.
So you got them both?
Pour yourself a glass of wine. Take the hubby out for a nice long dinner.
You can relax now. You're safe.
Thank you so much.
On the soccer field, Jenny pulls out a water bottle from her bag and drinks. Behind her, Aaron chats with the other players. She picks up her bag and approaches Jenny.
Hey, they invited me to the lake later. You want to come?
Nah, I can't. D-Day.
What?
Dad Day. Oh, he's a good guy. Mom just doesn't really get him. She won't let him inside the gate. I only get to see him a few hours a week or I'd go.
Another time.
An SUV pulls over.
Hey, Mom. Gotta go. Have fun. You too.
Jill, honey, come on.
Laura's car pulls over behind the SUV. Aaron waves and runs over. Laura climbs out of the car.
Hey, Dad.
Hi.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, how was your first day?
Oh, good.
Are you hungry?
Are you kidding?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Mrs. Benson.
Jenny waves as she gets into the SUV with Alan, her dad. At the Benson house, Laura and Aaron walk in from the garage.
Any dessert in the fridge?
You just inhaled an entire pizza. How could you be hungry? Oh, darn it. I forgot the card key at the realtor's office. I'm gonna go back.
I'll be counting the seconds until you return.
At the security gate, Laura pulls over behind a line of cars. She peeks her head through the window. At the front of the line, Jenny and Alan stand next to the SUV.
Got your bag, sweetheart?
Yeah, I got my soccer ball, too.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Dad.
Excellent.
So,
okay, see you next time.
Janice pulls over in a van.
All right, then. We'll do Friday.
All right.
We'll do it, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Alan?
Yeah.
Alan?
Hi,
Dad.
What the hell do you think you're doing? You're late again!
Well, I'm being a grown-up, Janice.
Being a grown-up?
Yes.
How many times have you been late? This is a constant.
No,
it's absolutely typical. You know what? Listen.
No, just relax.
Don't touch me. Don't you touch me. Don't you ever touch me again like that. You will hear from my lawyer, and after that, I will see you in court. I swear to God.
Janice glances over at Laura. She slinks back through the window.
Something else.
I don't take this.
Janice slams the door as Alan gets into his SUV. She grabs Jenny by the arm and pulls her to the van. In the Benson house, Jim digs through a box in the living room. Laura walks in.
Hi, honey. Oh,
I didn't get the car key today. It was my fault. I mean, I went to the realtor, but...
Jim holds two pieces of luggage. He turns to Laura with a grave face.
What's going on?
I just got a call from the head office. Airbus backed out of this major European deal. Their plane isn't ready, ours is. This is a big opportunity for us, honey. They want me to head up the entire team that's going over there.
They want you to run the show?
Yep.
Honey, congratulations. Aw, that is such great news. Oh. Except we haven't even unpacked yet.
Yeah, I know. The timing isn't good, but if I pull this off, we get a big order, we won't ever have to worry about a house payment again. Look, I want you to know that I wouldn't be doing this if we hadn't moved in here. But you've seen the security here. It's state of the art. I mean, we don't have to worry anymore. But if you want me to stay, I'll stay.
It's okay. I can handle it.
Now, if you have any problems at all, I am a phone call away. And Janice, our newest best friend, she is right next door.
Oh, well, I think she's got problems of her own. She had this really nasty fight down by the gatehouse. I don't know. It was with her ex, and he must have done something to her.
No, divorce can get ugly. I will be back in 4 or 5 days, and we'll get settled in. This is a new start for us. We're still young-esque. Let's live like it. Let's enjoy it. Would the massage and the groveling of a strapping young lad seal the deal?
Where is that young lad?
You're evil.
Love it.
Go upstairs.
Jim pats her butt as they run upstairs. Later, in the bedroom, Laura sleeps with her head resting on his chest.
What the hell is that? I'll get it.
Don't go.
Oh, maybe I'll just keep knocking.
Laura goes back to sleep. Jim puts on a shirt as he walks downstairs.
Just a second.
He checks a piece of paper as he dials the security code into the panel by the door.
Alarm deactivated.
Hi.
I
hate to barge in on you like this, but my ex and I had a fight, and Laura was kind of put in an awkward position. I just wanted to apologize. Is she around?
Well, she's taking a nap, but you don't have to apologize, Janice.
Oh, well, I know all about those mid-afternoon naps. You two are just great, you know. Perfect family, perfect marriage, nothing to complain about.
Well, we're far from perfect. We've got our issues, just like everybody else.
Well, you tell her that I'll speak with her in the morning. And again, if there's ever anything you need, you know, don't hesitate to come by or whatever.
Thanks.
Okay?
I am going to be leaving town for a little while. If you don't mind, just keeping an eye on her. She's, you know, since the break-in, losing the dog, she's just been kind of down. And
when two friends meet in an adverse hour, it is like a sunbeam in a shower. Sir Walter Scott said that, you know.
Huh. I'm sure he did.
Jim?
Yeah, honey, it's Janice. I'll be right up.
Janice glances at the piece of paper with the security code.
I've still got some packing to do, but hey, if you need anything as well, please don't ever hesitate.
Well, what are best friends for, Jim? And you have a safe trip.
Thank you, I will.
Janice waves with a friendly smile and walks off. Jim smiles as he shuts the door. Outside the house, a driver loads Jim's luggage into the back of a black car. Jim walks down the driveway with Laura.
Maybe I shouldn't go.
This house is not going to pay for itself.
You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
You're sure?
Go bring home the bacon.
I love you.
I know.
Jim and Laura kiss.
You call me.
Safe travels.
Jim climbs into the back of the car. Laura watches as it leaves the driveway and drives down the street. Janice approaches her from behind.
Never say that marriage has more of joy than pain.
Euripides.
Impressive.
I used that one at my old work. I used to counsel, well, just about everybody with a problem.
You miss it?
Yeah.
Listen, about yesterday, I sort of flew the coop. If I made you uncomfortable, I want to apologize. It's just been hard for me, and even more so for Jenny. She's having problems adjusting. She's being depressed.
Oh, I am so sorry to hear that. But no, listen. It was no big deal. I mean, Jim and I fight once in a while, so I know what it's like. I'll see you later.
Laura walks past Janice.
Alan's always late.
She stops and turns around.
He's unreliable. It gets later each time. I'm afraid one time he's not going to bring Jenny back. I know he wants to take her away from me, get custody. That can't happen. He's always smacking people around. It makes him feel big, I guess. Jenny is really all I have, and just the thought of... I know I probably shelter her too much, but I just want the very, very, very best for her. Am I a bad person?
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I know I am.
You're not.
Really?
Laura nods with a thin smile. Janice's eyes well with tears.
You're a good friend. No, you're a great friend, Laura Benson.
Janice hugs Laura.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Laura stares ahead with a distressed face. On the soccer field, the players stand around the coach, who reads from a clipboard.
Rowden, Paige, Dorosh, thanks for your time. It's always next to you, girls.
Let's go.
Let's do it again.
We can do this, okay?
Okay.
Aaron passes a ball to Jenny and runs down the field.
You don't make the cut. The cut makes you.
Aaron kicks the ball into the net. At the house, Aaron rushes through the front door.
Yes! Mom!
Aaron?
I made it!
You made the team!
Yes!
I'm so excited! Congratulations!
Thank
your dad's
you.
Gonna be so proud!
Okay.
You gotta call, okay?
Coach says I even have a shot at starting. Can you believe it?
Great. That's great, honey.
I mean, maybe even a scholarship at some point.
Honey, that's terrific. Look, I hate to cut you short, but I gotta step into a meeting.
Aaron hands the phone to Laura.
Jim?
Hi, honey. I'm on my way home.
Oh, how's the deal going?
It's looking really good, hon, but I gotta go. But I miss you guys already.
We miss you too.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Laura hangs up. Aaron bows her head.
I wish Dad hadn't left.
Oh, I know. Me too. But you know, you're safe here.
Aaron nods.
You know what?
We should celebrate.
Mom, I just ran 40 laps. I want to celebrate on the couch.
Okay, all right. Well, then we'll do takeout.
Okay.
Hello?
A congratulations is in order, I hear. Jenny told me the good news.
Well, thank you, Janice.
We gotta get outside the gates tonight, girl.
Celebrate. Live a little, you and me, and I won't take no for an answer.
I don't know.
No? Sounds like no, and I won't take no for an answer.
I'll see you at 8. And wear something nice. Oh, of course, you always do, silly old me.
I'll see you then.
At night in a restaurant, Laura and Janice sit at a table with glasses of red wine.
For when the one great scorer comes to write against your name, he marks not that you won or lost, but how you played the game. It's so nice to have someone around just to talk to, share your ups and downs. Here's to new friends.
Cheers.
Oh, bye-bye. You throw in the
candy. Oh, no, Janice.
I insist.
Well, thank you.
Is that a smile I see? Well, it's nice to see you happy. Jim mentioned you've been down lately.
Oh,
When did he say that?
Oh, looky there. Me and my wide mouth Mason. I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Well, what did he tell you?
He just mentioned that you'd been down, you know, the break-in, the dog, and that you two had issues.
Well, what else did he say?
He just wanted me to keep an eye out for you. Stop in, be a friend. Hey, I have no problem with that. That's what friends do. Lean on me, I lean on you. Starting to sound like a Motown song, aren't I?
Well, it's true, you know, I haven't been myself lately.
Well, keep your head up, sunshine. Tonight we're two cougars out on the prowl. The Janice and Laura show. Hey, who knows what we'll get into. Here's to friends. Forever. And I hear Erin's been making friends.
Oh, yeah. She's really excited about being on the team, too.
Must be nice. Perfect daughter. Perfect husband. Pretty much a perfect life, huh, Lorsey?
Oh, well, far from perfect. Apparently we have issues. Jenny must be looking forward to playing also.
She didn't make the team.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, there's always next year.
No, the girls who don't make it this year never make the team. It's over for her. It's too bad, too, because she really had her heart set on it. You know, she's been crying all day. She must have lost 12 pounds alone in tears. Crazy kids, you know how it goes, though.
Yeah, well, there must be some chance next year.
She's just crushed. You want everything for them, you know? You want to do everything for them, and then you send them out there to fend for themselves, and there's nothing you can do.
You just have to teach them well and hope they listen.
You know, I was thinking that... Oh, no, I couldn't. It's silly.
What?
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't. It's stupid.
Oh, come on. We're all friends here.
Yes, we are. Friends. But I couldn't.
So, what is it, Janice?
I was thinking maybe Erin could reject her spot on the team. You know, like if Jenny's not on the team, then I'm not on the team type thing. I mean, they're good friends. It wouldn't be that big of a deal.
You want Erin to quit the team?
Well, it'd be more symbolic than anything, and I'm sure the coach could make room for both of them.
Well, what if he doesn't?
This is all Jenny has. You take this away, and who knows what will happen. Jenny is not strong like Erin. Alan, the divorce, he just tore things apart. It's all taken its toll, you know? Look, Jenny doesn't have many friends, if any. If Erin was to do this, it would change people's view of Jenny. I am asking this as a personal favor. Truly, truly, truly. I mean, if there's anything you need, I mean, is there anything I can do?
I really appreciate the drinks and all your hospitality. And I hate, absolutely hate that Jenny is crushed and there's no spot for her. But I'm sorry. I cannot ask my daughter to do that.
But they're trying to take her away from me. You know that. His damn lawyer will use this against me.
I'm sorry. I really can't. I'm just going to go to the ladies' room and then I think we should get the check. Excuse me.
Laura gets up from the table and walks off. Janice reaches into her jacket pocket and pulls out a note with the security code. A waitress approaches her from behind.
Can I get you anything else?
If I want something, I'll ask for it.
The waitress walks off. Janice rests a hand on her forehead and stares at the code. She slips it back into the jacket pocket and takes a sip of wine. At night in the house, Laura performs sit-ups on the bedroom floor.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I should ask you.
Oh, I just had
weird scene with Janice this evening.
I don't know. There's something not right about her.
That sounds paranoid.
She wanted me to ask Aaron to quit the team so her daughter could get on. Does that sound paranoid to you?
Honey, I'm sure she meant well.
No, she didn't. When I told her that I wouldn't do it, she just... I mean, you should have seen the look in her eye. It was just like... I can't even describe it.
Maybe she had too much to drink.
Honey, you're not listening to me.
I am listening to you, okay? I mean, I know Janice is over the top, but she's the only friend we have there.
When are you coming home?
Soon.
When soon?
2-3 days, tops.
Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
In the bathroom, she turns on the showerhead. As the water runs, Laura unties her hair in front of the bathroom mirror. The water stops. Laura turns around with a furrowed brow. She turns the showerhead knob back and forth, but it doesn't work. Outside, she inspects a water valve with Crowley.
It's jammed. That's strange.
Strange?
Well, maybe not strange, but...
Well, who did this?
I don't know. Accidents happen.
You think this was an accident?
I guess. I'm not a plumber, but...
Do you think someone could have done this on purpose?
Anything's possible, but why would they?
Laura looks up at Janice's bedroom window.
Are you okay, Mrs. Benson?
Oh, yeah, I am. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming by.
Laura walks back inside, leaving Crowley outside. Janice peeks through the bedroom window with a chicken drumstick in her hand. She takes a bite. Inside, the bedroom is filled with trash and boxes. Janice tosses the chicken bone into a styrofoam food container. Janice walks past the bed. A large wrench rests on top of a pizza box. In the daytime, the coach watches Aaron and her teammates at soccer practice.
What, am I watching a bunch of girls here?
Come on, people, let's move!
A man in a suit walks across the field and approaches the coach. He whispers into the coach's ear.
Aaron!
Aaron walks over to the coach.
What's up, coach?
What do you know about Winstrol?
I don't.
Well, it's a steroid that someone said they saw you using. Principal Bennett has had a complaint.
What?
We have zero tolerance to drugs of any type.
That's fine, because I never took any.
I'm not here to argue.
Whether you did or not doesn't matter right now. Until you get tested, as much as I want to, I can't play you.
This is a joke, right?
I'm sorry.
So you're cutting me?
Should your test come back positive, you'll be facing school suspension as well.
Better go home, Aaron.
The coach hands Aaron a cell phone. She makes a call.
Who told you to stop?
The teammates resume playing.
Mom?
Later, Aaron sits in Laura's car. Laura closes the door. She walks over to the coach.
Coach Brand? I'm Laura Benson, Aaron's mother. What is going on here? Who called the principal?
You know, at this time, it's not really something I can say. You should speak to the principal.
My daughter is being smeared.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't understand. I know my daughter. I know what she does and what she doesn't do.
I hope you do. No, I'm sorry, you gotta excuse me. I gotta go. Shooting drills next!
Aaron wipes away tears as Laura returns to the car.
I just don't get it.
What's there to get? I didn't do anything.
I know, sweetie. It's just that... I mean, why would it... Is there any way that maybe someone saw you take something else and they
thought... Mom, I didn't do anything, okay?
I know, honey. I just don't understand why someone...
Laura's eyes widen. Later, she pulls over in front of Janice's house.
I'll be right back.
Laura climbs out of the car and marches toward the house. Aaron sits in the car with headphones on.
Janice? Janice?
Laura walks back to the car. Aaron meets her in the driveway.
And an Arboretum big hello to you, neighbor.
Did you call the school?
Is this about you helping Jenny?
Did you call the school?
You are upset. You seem upset.
I am.
Well, the best way to cheer yourself up is to try and cheer someone else up. Mark Twain said that, you know?
Look, I don't know if you made the call or if you didn't, but if you did, you need to call them back and tell them that it was a mistake. Aaron has never taken any drugs.
Drugs? Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you can fill me in.
An anonymous caller said that Aaron was taking steroids. They want to kick her off the team.
Well, did you ever think maybe she might be? Parents are the last to know.
My daughter has never taken anything.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Now, listen.
Okay, I suggest you get her tested before you start accusing innocent and upstanding citizens.
I know what you're doing, lady.
Everything all right here?
Oh, just a little friendly neighborhood jibber-jabber. Two gals just swapping the daily gossip, Mr. Crowley.
Right.
Fine. She'll take the test. She'll get back on the team, call or no call.
Laura storms off.
Whew. The poor girl is going through some rough times. No job, no husband, kid on drugs. But she'll be fine. I'm watching her.
Oh. Well, thanks, Mrs. Rivers.
It's Miss Rivers.
Janice smiles at Crowley and heads back to her house. Outside the Benson house, a note is taped to the garage door.
What's that?
Laura takes the note off of the garage door and opens it.
Something from the maintenance man?
Why, did he see me using too?
Aaron heads inside. Laura stares at the note. In cutout letters, it reads, "I know where you live, bitch. You're gonna end up like your dog. Ruff ruff." Laura rushes inside and shuts the front door, then inputs the code on the keypad.
Alarm. Door locked.
Hello.
Zeller here.
Oh, yes, detective.
Jack Kim is out.
Who?
The accomplice who broke into your house. We had to let him out on bail this morning.
And the shooter, too?
No, he's being held without bail. It's just the second guy, Kim.
Well, could he know where I live? I mean, does he know?
No, I don't think so.
He's been here, hasn't he?
What makes you say that?
I got a note.
Just now. He's after us, detective.
What kind of note?
I know where you live, bitch. You're gonna end up like your dog. Ruff.
All right, get it in a baggie. And try to stay calm. We're gonna call over to security over there right away.
When is this gonna stop, detective?
We're gonna make it stop.
I hope so.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert.
Mom, I'm intruder sorry. Alert. I was trying to let Fred in.
Intruder
I'm
alert.
Sorry. I forgot about the alarm.
Intruder alert. Alarm deactivated.
I hate that thing.
Laura makes a call on her cell phone.
Hi, it's Jim. I can't get to my phone, so please leave a message.
Jim. Jim, please come home. I need you. We need you.
Laura sits weeping on the stairs. Aaron hugs her. Outside the Benson house, Laura meets Mickey by her car.
Have I told you this place amazes me more and more every time?
Well, try living here.
Pardon?
What do you know about Janice Rivers?
Janice Rivers?
Why do I get the feeling you're not telling me everything?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Benson, but
what do you know?
Mickey glances at Janice's house.
Let's take a walk.
Janice watches from her bedroom window as Laura and Mickey walk into the backyard.
She's been giving you problems?
I wouldn't have asked otherwise.
Well, the previous owners had a few complaints, but...
What were the complaints?
She was going through a difficult divorce. Very physical relationship.
Wait, exactly what kind of complaints?
She'd call the previous owners, the Craigs, at all hours of the night. She'd blow up when they didn't take her side.
Is that why they moved out?
Oh, who's to say, really?
Is that why they moved out?
Look, I sell real estate, not history. I'm sorry.
Mickey throws up her hands and walks off. Laura turns around and follows Mickey to the front yard.
She's crazy, isn't she?
Just stay away from her.
Why didn't you tell us about this before?
Would you bought the house by head?
That is not
Stay away from her.
From her bedroom window, Janice watches as Mickey walks back to her car. Laura stands on the front lawn and watches Mickey drive off. Janice chews on an apple as she watches from the window. Laura turns towards her house. Laura steps across the lawn and looks up at the window. Janice puts down the apple and mimes dog paws with her hands. Laura's mouth hangs open. She turns away for a moment. Janice disappears as Laura turns back to the window. Inside, a phone is on a kitchen counter.
Laura, are you there? I'm losing the signal, honey, so please pick up. Are you there? Oh, I got your message. Oh, honey, look, I'm gonna have to call you back.
Laura runs over.
Jim.
Hi, it's Jim. I can't get to my phone, so please leave a message.
Laura makes another call.
Detective Zeller?
It's her.
Who is this?
Laura Benson. My next door neighbor, Janice Rivers.
I think she wrote the note.
Your neighbor?
That's right. My crazy next door neighbor, Janice Rivers.
Mrs. Benson, do you have any idea how preposterous that sounds?
I do, and I don't care. Please, just come over here right away.
All right.
Laura hangs up. She turns to the back door and sees that it's open. Laura approaches the door. Fred runs through. Later, Zeller inspects the note.
I spoke with security. They didn't see anything.
He looks through the window and sees Janice trimming the flowers in her front garden.
Maybe this Janice saw who planted the note.
You think it's the accomplice, don't you?
Well, that's what I'd lean towards.
Well, then you're not listening. This woman is crazy. I mean, beyond crazy. There's not even a word for it. She just sits there in her perfect little world, totally out of touch with everything around her.
Janice waves at Zeller with a smile.
You are listening, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Zeller waves back.
You see, that is what she wants you to see. That is what she wants you to think. Perfect on the outside, whacked on the inside.
When I spoke with security, they said the two of you had some type of a run-in.
It wasn't a run-in.
Well, what was it?
She called my daughter's school with a made-up story about Aaron using drugs. She's just jealous because her daughter didn't get on the soccer team. And I called her on it.
So she sent you a death threat because her daughter didn't make the soccer team.
Look, can you just run her name, okay? Check her background. It's the least that you could do.
Well, maybe I'll speak with her first. Would you excuse me, Mrs. Benson?
Zeller walks out through the back door. Laura watches through the window as he approaches Janice.
Ode to joy!
What a beautiful man that Mr. Beethoven was, you know? There he was, losing his hearing, spiraling into madness, and he writes the prettiest little song anyone could dream.
Detective Zeller, if I can ask you a few questions?
Well, we just met. It's a little early for a wedding proposal.
I understand you and Mrs. Benson have been having some problems.
You know, I have been just worried sick about her ever since her husband left. I mean, she's been a bit, well, I don't know the polite way to say it. Fruit of the month.
Really?
Oh, I think that break-in at her last house is still really getting to her.
She told you about that?
Well, that's what best friends do, silly.
Would you happen to know anything about this?
He hands her the note.
I know it prevents your food from getting freezer burn.
The note inside.
Janice examines the note and hands it back.
Detective, I'm not much for profanity, so if you could please.
You know, if she needs any help, you just call and I will run right over there.
You know, I don't think that's such a good idea right now. Could you do me a favor? Could you give her a little space? If you could, as a friend. She's under a lot of stress right now.
Most definitely. Most of the shadows of this life are caused by standing in one's own sunshine. Emerson said that, you know.
Did he?
He did.
Well, thanks for your time, Mrs. Rivers.
Ms. Rivers.
Right. Ms. Rivers.
You be careful driving out there.
I will. Thanks.
Janice turns to Laura's window with a mischievous smile. She waves and squeezes her hedge clippers. At the school, Coach Brand sits at his desk in his office. Janice stands in the doorway.
Back in the day, all our coach had was a cubicle off the changing room. Not like this office. Boy, you could live in this thing.
Can I help you?
My daughter Jenny. Jenny Rivers.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I heard about the recent problems, the team drug use.
No, that's an allegation still, an isolated one at that.
You run a tight ship. And so you should. Trim the fat and sell the sizzle and you get a prize-winning steak.
Exactly how could I help you?
Well, now that there's a vacancy on the team, I just wanted to let you know that Jenny's still available. She's a hard worker, and she doesn't mind riding the pine, even if it's just as an alternate.
I already have my alternates.
But they don't have the passion Jenny has, the drive. Soccer is her life.
Well, there's always next year.
You and I both know that if they don't make the team this year, there is no next year. So don't play Coach of the Year with me, okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I have work to do.
Can't you just give her a shot? A little girl's dream. You remember dreams, don't you? What it was like at that age?
I do, which is why I coach. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Janice stands in his way.
Ma'am?
She'll make the team.
Not this year.
Janice glares at Coach Brand as he walks off. In the garage, Laura and Aaron get out of the car.
You have the receipt that they gave you so you can call in for your test results, right?
What, you don't trust me with it?
No, I just want to make sure they don't get lost.
Okay, you mean when I'm spun out on coke and shooting up, right?
No, I didn't mean that at all.
Oh, honey. You know, when I was your age, I felt that my mother didn't believe anything I said. Not a word. And I don't know if she did or didn't, but it poisoned our relationship. So when you came along, I told myself that would never happen to us. Now, I promise you, I believe that you're telling the truth. Okay? Be cool?
Getting there. But I think I'll milk your guilt a little bit longer.
Get in the house.
They head into the house. In a break room at the school, Coach Brand pours himself a cup of coffee. He walks into his office. Principal Bennett stands in the doorway.
Hey, you want a cup?
Principal Bennett shuts the door.
Greg, how many years have we been friends?
Too many.
I never, never would have expected something like this from you.
Something like what?
If it's true, you've not only ruined your own career, but the reputation of the school as well.
George, what the hell are you talking about?
I just got off the phone with one of the team moms who says you've been having sex with one of the other mothers in exchange for preferential treatment for their daughter.
What? Who said this?
She wants to remain anonymous at the moment.
I'll bet she does.
From a first-person perspective, a person walks toward the Benson house and stands in the driveway. Inside, Laura steps into a bathroom. She stops and turns to a mirror. The words "rough rough" are written in red. At night, Laura and Crawley stand in front of the mirror.
Well, no strangers came in or out of those gates, or I would have seen.
That's what I'm telling you. Janice lives right next door.
Yeah, but how would she have gotten into the house? I mean, wasn't it locked?
Look, she got into the house. How she got here doesn't matter, but she was here.
Not necessarily.
You think I wrote it?
Well, no. No, I didn't say that.
Fine.
Outside, Laura knocks on Janice's front door.
Oh, and an arboretum big
stay out of my home and out of my life.
You knocked on my door. Are you okay, Lorsey?
Mrs. Benson, you're out of line here.
Okay. Sorry. Let's go easy on her. I mean, her kid's on drugs and her hubby. Well, where is old Jim?
Ms. Rivers.
I should go.
Laura storms off. Janice closes the door with a thin smile on her face. Laura enters her house and closes the door behind her. As she walks upstairs, the keypad by the front door has its panel left open. Upstairs, Laura enters her bedroom and lies back on the bed. At night, from a first-person perspective, a person passes in front of the Benson house. They stop in the driveway and look at the front door. Inside, Laura lies asleep in bed. A shadow passes along the wall. Janice stands over the bed and looks down at Laura. Janice bends over and strokes Laura's hair as she sleeps. Janice opens her eyes. Fred is on the bed next to her.
Oh, Fred.
She sets Fred onto the floor. Fred jumps back onto the bed.
Fred. Go to sleep. Go catch mice, something. Oh.
Fred jumps onto Laura's chest.
Oh, Fred, please. What are you doing?
Fred jumps off of the bed and walks out of the room.
Fred?
Laura climbs out of bed. She leaves the room and follows Fred downstairs. Fred scurries into the kitchen. Laura looks through the window to the backyard.
Fred, you're seeing things.
Laura opens the fridge. She turns around and sees a hooded figure run through the backyard. The hooded figure runs towards the door. Laura notices that the keypad panel is open. Laura runs to the panel and inputs the code. The hooded figure pulls at the locked door. Laura grabs a phone and runs upstairs.
Hello, this is Laura Benson. Someone's in my backyard. She's coming in. Please help me.
Laura runs into Aaron's bedroom.
Aaron, wake up. Come on, we have to go.
Mom, what's wrong?
Janice is trying to get into the house. Come on.
What?
Downstairs, the hooded figure steps over broken glass.
Come on.
Aaron and Laura run out of the bedroom and head downstairs. They dash through the front door. Crawley stops them in the driveway.
There's somebody in there!
Mrs. Benson, it's okay!
No, it is not okay! It is not!
Two security guards drag the hooded figure by the arms. It's Kim, the accomplice.
Let go of me! Get your hands off me!
It's not her.
That's the description of the prowler we had last week.
I know him.
You do?
Yes.
You did good. And I'm sure your neighbors will agree. The police will be here in a minute.
It's okay.
Laura holds Aaron in her arms. The guards put Kim in handcuffs. Inside, Aaron and Laura climb into bed together.
Oh, safety in numbers, right?
Of course.
Laura picks up the phone.
Hello?
Hi, it's me.
Jim calls from an airplane.
Sorry to call you so late, but I'm going to have to turn this phone off any minute.
Where are you?
I'm on a plane. I tried to call you earlier, but nobody picked up. Is everything okay?
We, had a little problem.
Janice?
No, another break-in.
What?
It's okay, sweetie. It's over, so don't worry. They caught him.
Him?
Yeah, it was one of the guys from the first break-in.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Are you and Aaron all right?
You know what? We are all right. But we miss you, so please come home soon, okay?
I will. I wish I was there already. I love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
In the bedroom, Fred climbs onto the bed between Aaron and Laura.
Come here!
Hi, Fred!
Come here.
Aww.
You'll protect us, right, Fredwin? I sure will, Miss Benson.
In the morning, two men replace the broken glass of the back door.
Fred! Paging Mr. Fred Benson!
Thank you.
Mr. Fat Cat, please report to the OR. You seen Fred, Mom?
No, not since last night.
Maybe the sirens freaked him out.
Maybe. So, you ready for school?
Not after last night.
Oh, sweetie.
Freddy!
Aaron walks into the backyard.
Freddy! Come here, you little beast. Fredwin! Freddy! Fredwin! Come here, baby! Freddy!
Behind a flower bed, Fred's limbs and body are strewn across the grass. Aaron sees them. Aaron covers her mouth and turns away. Later, Aaron and Laura watch as Crowley and an animal control officer place the pieces into a black plastic garbage bag.
It's coyotes. I'm surprised they left this much of the body. Normally they just leave the head. Well, the construction's driven them down from the hills. This is fairly common. I'm very sorry for your loss. I'll have this cleaned up and out of your way as soon as possible.
It's not coyotes.
Ma'am, this isn't the first time I've seen this.
It's her.
Her?
She's made threats. Our next door neighbor. You should talk to her.
Mrs. Benson, there's no evidence.
No evidence? Our cat has been mutilated in our backyard. What do you want? A human body?
Whoa, okay. Maybe a couple of questions will ease everyone's mind. Okay?
Okay.
Once again, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Crowley walks off with the animal control officer.
Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry. You know what? You could probably catch your last class. You should go. You shouldn't stay here. Okay?
Perfect.
In the precinct, Detective Zeller makes a call.
Mrs. Benson, Detective Zeller here. Are you on a cordless phone?
Yeah, why?
All right, I need you to lock the doors. What I'm about to tell you might be a little unsettling.
Well, I think unsettling is sort of normal right now.
Please, Mrs. Benson.
All right.
The accomplice who broke into your house. He was trying to keep you from testifying against his partner.
Third strike.
Alarm activated. Door locked.
We're going to put a guard on you 24/7.
No worries. No more prowlers. No shooters. I'm sending the car over right now.
Well, if these guys are both in custody, then why am I locking my doors?
Pulled the print off the note.
And then we pulled a print off the baggie that Janice handed back to me. They matched.
Look, Mrs. Benson.
Stay inside your house until my guys get there.
She's dangerous?
I dug up some old reports.
Some complaints. Arrests.
What kind of arrests?
Assault, spousal abuse,
Seems she's got a pretty good right hook. And it looks like her ex is going to get custody of their daughter. Maybe that's what pushed her over the edge. So,
stay inside your house, please. I'm on my way.
Thank you so much.
Look, I'm sorry I didn't get on this sooner.
Oh, your guy's here.
Really?
Thank you.
Laura hangs up.
Laura? Laura?
Zeller opens a drawer and pulls out a pistol. At the house, Laura runs to the door.
Coming!
Alarm deactivated.
Oh, thank God you're here.
You said it, neighbor.
Janice slinks inside.
When I heard about your cat, I was mortified. I mean, animals are like family. Family like animals.
Janice.
Oh, and a big congrats on pinning down that robber. You're really on top of everything, aren't you?
Look, I have some stuff that I have to do.
Don't you love this neighborhood? People are so open and friendly, popping in for visits, even when you don't know them. You didn't happen to send animal control over to my house, did you? You think I could do that to your cat? Kill a living thing?
I don't know.
I think we should start over. Roll out a new barrel, you know, friends.
Laura glances at the door.
You waiting on someone? Security? Police, maybe? You know, I think you're getting worked up over nothing here, Lorsey.
Over nothing? I know you killed our cat. I know you wrote the note. I know you made that call about Aaron, and I know you're going to prison, so no, I don't want to start over. Roll out any damn barrel, all right? I think you should go.
People would rather be certain they're miserable than risk being happy. Robert Anthony said that.
And I'm saying get the hell out of my house.
Laura and Janice wrestle over the phone. Janice punches Laura in the face and knocks her to the ground.
You had to be perfect. So perfect.
Aaron walks in.
Mom, why isn't the door locked? Mom!
She sees Janice standing over Laura.
Mom, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Aaron, get out of here. Go get help.
Janice grabs a fireplace poker and swings it at Aaron. Aaron turns and runs. Janice strikes Aaron in the back. She falls to the floor and Janice hits her leg. Laura grabs Janice by the legs. Aaron grabs the fireplace poker. Aaron gets up and runs out of the house. Laura hides behind boxes. Janice enters a code into the keypad.
Alarm activated. Door locked.
In the kitchen, she picks up a knife. Laura runs up to the keypad. She backs away as Janice swings the knife. It plunges into the door. Laura and Janice grapple with each other. They crash into a stack of boxes and fall to the floor. They grapple with each other on the floor. Laura kicks Janice off of her. She gets up and runs up the stairs. Janice chases after her. Midway up the stairs, Janice grabs Laura by the shoulders. She slams her against the wall.
You make me
Laura pushes Janice aside and she rolls down the stairs. In the upstairs hallway, Laura inputs a code on a keypad before hiding in a bedroom. At the security gate, Aaron runs up to Crowley.
Crowley, please help us, my mom! Crowley!
Aaron! Dad. Aaron, what's wrong, honey?
It's Janice!
Come on!
It's Janice!
Come on, get,
I don't
get
know.
In the car!
In the house, Janice sits up from the floor. She pulls out the knife from the front door. Laura hides in the bedroom. She turns her head with wide eyes. She flashes back to the break-in and fighting with Janice. In the hallway, Janice raises the knife as she approaches the bedroom. Laura flashes back to the thief raising his gun and Janice swinging the knife.
Laura. Lorsey? I thought we were friends.
Laura looks around the room and sees Aaron's soccer trophies. Janice approaches the end of the hall. She looks back and forth between two doors. She opens one of the doors. Laura opens the other door and strikes Janice in the back with a trophy. Janice slices her leg. Laura hobbles to the end of the hall.
You know what? I feel sorry for your daughter. Not only does she suck at soccer, but she can't cook. And you? You're about as far from perfect as anyone can get.
Janice gets up from the floor and raises the knife. She locks eyes with Laura. Janice charges down the hall. Laura steps to the side. Janice crashes through the railing and falls to the floor below. Outside, the security car pulls into the driveway. Jim climbs out of the car and runs to the door. He finds Janice unconscious on the floor.
Laura?
Honey?
Ms. Rivers.
Jim runs upstairs and hugs Laura. Outside, two ambulances are parked on the street. Crawley chats with another security guard. A paramedic walks along the side of one of the ambulances. Jenny and Alan watch as Janice is loaded into the back on a stretcher.
We'll see you in a minute.
Okay.
Aaron is loaded into the other ambulance.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. You gonna live with your dad now?
Yeah, that's good.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Zeller approaches Laura.
Well, you're going to be one busy lady testifying in all these trials.
You got that right.
Would you do me a favor? Would you stay in this house? It's pre-disaster. I've got all the cases I can handle. I got to take this. I'll stay in touch.
Zeller here.
We can move to a new town. I can get a new job. No traveling.
Move? We can't move. This is our home.
Jim and Laura kiss.
Come on. Let's go see our little girl.
Jim helps Laura to her feet. He puts his arm around her as they walk to the ambulance.
Aaron? Sweetie?
They climb into the ambulance.
Hey, monkey. First time in an ambulance.
A paramedic closes the door and the ambulance drives off.
No problem. They're on their way now. Okay, bye.
Zeller approaches Crowley as the emergency vehicles drive down the street. Credits. Audio description by Caption Max. Starring Alexandra Paul as Laura Benson, Shannon Lawson as Janice Rivers, Gary Hudson as Jim Benson, Ksenia Solo as Aaron Benson, Rod Crawford as Crowley, John Bourgeois as Detective Zeller, Michelle Killoran as Jenny Rivers, and John Jarvis as Alan Rivers. Casting by Lindsay Chaug and Brian Levy. Music by Norman Orenstein. Edited by Ben Wilkinson. Production designer Harold Thrasher. Director of Photography Joseph Lockerer. Executive producer Michael Jacobs. Produced by Julian Grant. Written by Craig X. Wayman. Directed by Paul Schneider. Copyright released by Marvista Entertainment.